From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Good afternoon, and thank you for listening. A cruise line representative dodged questions from the Juneau Assembly this afternoon about the company's plans to develop a new cruise ship port on the backside of Douglas Island. The interaction took place during a public meeting between the Juneau Assembly and different cruise line agencies at City Hall. Last Friday, Royal Caribbean Group announced a partnership with Gold Belt Incorporated, a local Alaska Native corporation, to develop a new cruise ship dock on the backside of Douglas Island. Despite obvious activity going on in the area, Mary Beth Weldon told a Royal Caribbean Group representative that no one at the city has been informed.
We see clearing of land on the tip of North Douglas, which has freaked everybody out, and we're hearing surveys of docks are done, and so far we've heard nothing from you guys.
When Gold Belt and Royal Caribbean first announced their plans, the mayor and other city officials said they felt blindsided by the news. Since then, neither company has shared any additional information publicly about the proposed project. Gold Belt owns 1,800 acres of land along the north coastline of Douglas. In recent weeks, the corporation began putting up no trespassing signs in the area and gated off a trail regularly used by recreational hikers for years, despite being private. Satellite imagery over the past month shows portions of land have been cleared of trees. Deputy Mayor Greg Smith asked if either company plans to communicate with the city about what's going on. Royal Caribbean Group's Vice President of Government Relations, Russell Benford, suggested at the meeting that it's up to Gold Belt to communicate with the city.
I don't want to speak for, I'm not able to speak for the developer, but I can tell you that would be, you know, my response to you is that I don't know it's really on us to speak for them.
Representatives for Gold Belt were not present at the meeting, but in a text message to KTOO, Gold Belt President and CEO McHugh Pierre said the company was, quote, inspecting the ground to see what can be built and where it might be built. He did not disclose if the clearing was related to the dock project. The Alaska Senate is planning to vote soon on a new education funding bill, even as Governor Mike Dunleavy says he opposes it. That's after a state Senate committee approved a new version of the bill calling on school districts to regulate student cell phone use. The new version of House Bill 57 from the Senate Finance Committee includes a $700 boost to basic per-student funding and a 10% boost to student transportation funding. It comes a week after Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed a prior $1,000 boost to school funding and 2 days after an override failed. Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican caucusing with the largely Democratic majority, says the new bill is an attempt to compromise.
We talked about some of the policies that were in play, and there's quite a few of them. Which ones seem to be most universally acceptable, and threw them together.
Some of the policy items included in the bill would ease the process of creating and renewing charter schools, though there are some significant differences between lawmakers' approach and the governor's. Governor Dunleavy posted on social media Wednesday calling for additional changes to the bill. That's before the charter school and graduate tracking programs were added. A spokesperson said Dunleavy stood by that statement on Thursday. The predominantly Democratic coalitions who control the House and Senate could not overcome a veto without help from minority Republicans. Representative Will Stopp, a Fairbanks Republican who objected to the prior bill's large price tag, says the new bill looks more affordable, but he's not quite ready to support it.
It doesn't appear to me to be the kind of the clear things that the executive is asking for, but it's certainly closer than it was the day before. So, yeah. So hopefully we'll get there. Doesn't feel like we're that far apart here in the building.
Stopp says he'd like to see the governor's open enrollment and correspondence school provisions added to the bill. Senate leaders have expressed concerns over those. The new school funding bill is scheduled for amendments on the Senate floor tomorrow and a final vote on Monday. The Senate's version of the bill would go back for a final up or down vote in the House shortly afterward. A $38 million federal grant meant to help Alaskans lower their energy bills and planet warming emissions has been in limbo for months. But as Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, the grant money is now in place and set to fund a highly anticipated heat pump program across coastal and southeast Alaska this summer.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency first awarded the grant to two Alaska nonprofits last year, but then in January, President Donald Trump took office and halted funding for federal contracts, loans, and grants. That included the heat pump grant, which aims to install the lower emission systems in thousands of homes across Alaska, including in Haines and Skagway. Katie Lister is a senior energy advisor at Southeast Conference, which is helping manage the grant.
Our funding was frozen twice, but has been unthawed or available for the last month and a half.
Other organizations across the country experienced a similar chain of events after a federal judge blocked the funding freeze and the Trump administration rescinded the original memo that ordered it. Lister says the freeze resulted in a lot of uncertainty around the program and a slight delay. But now that the dollars are available, the group is working to catch up and roll out the program in the coming months. Its ultimate aim? To defray the cost of installing electric heat pumps, which can heat and cool homes in place of fossil fuel-based systems, and typically at a lower cost.
And on very, very cold days, it could be that you need to or want to turn, you know, your Toyo stove or your boiler back on, but that most, if not all, of your heating needs could be met with a heat pump.
The grant was awarded to Southeast Conference and Alaska Heat Smart, a Juneau-based nonprofit. The groups say the $38.6 million should help install more than 6,000 air source heat pumps in households that primarily use fossil fuels or wood for home heating. Households will be responsible for paying for the installation up front, but will later be reimbursed, Lister says. Lower-income households will receive up to $8,500 to put toward a heat pump, which Lister says could cover the full cost. Higher-income households will receive smaller sums. The groups are racing to finalize program requirements and other details. Within the next month, they plan to release more information about how households can apply and which contractors they can use. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And new cases of HIV in Alaska over the past 5 years were highly preventable. That's according to a recent bulletin from the state's Section of Epidemiology. Data from cases over the past 5 years showed that most people diagnosed with HIV in the Anchorage and Mat-Su borough areas had seen a healthcare provider in the year before they acquired the virus. Liz Olson is a physician with the Section of Epidemiology. She says providers should screen their patients for vulnerability and provide information about PrEP.
We want people to know their HIV risk and to know that there's preventive medicine out there called pre-exposure prophylaxis. This is medicine that can be taken to prevent HIV.
PrEP can be taken as a pill or injection, and it's highly effective at preventing transmission of HIV. She says providers can find more information on prescribing PrEP on the Section of Epidemiology's website. Patients can see any prescribing provider, or she says there are also online services that provide PrEP for free by mail. And small businesses in Alaska are already feeling the impacts from President Trump's sweeping tariff policies. Businesses are scrambling to stock up on products, move manufacturing out of China, and re-examine their balance sheets. And as Alaska Public Media's Ava White reports, entrepreneurs say the uncertainty they're facing is potentially just as damaging as the tariffs.
Small businesses in Alaska are already feeling the impacts from President Trump's sweeping tariff policies. Businesses are scrambling to stock up on products, moving manufacturing out of China, and re-examining their balance sheets. And entrepreneurs say the uncertainty they're facing is potentially just as damaging as the tariffs. When you step into the Spice and Tea Exchange in South Anchorage and veer to the right, there's a section dedicated to sugars, some sweet, others savory. The shop's owner, Liz Eldridge, chooses a flavor for me to try. The shop imports teas, spices, salts, and sugars from nearly 60 countries. Eldridge started preparing for tariffs in January by bulking up on the store's most popular items and products from countries at high risk for tariffs, like China. She says it's been a fight with larger companies that are trying to do the same thing.
The demand has already skyrocketed, and so that price has already been driven up regardless of what tariff may be imposed on it.
The store was able to secure a 3-month supply of vulnerable items they can't source elsewhere, which has allowed them to limit the price hike for customers for now. Between tariffs and lack of availability, Eldridge says the prices she's charging for impacted items will soon raise about 45%. She says imports make her business possible.
We have to continue to be able to source tea. Now, we can switch countries of origin, but even if we're switching from something that's hit by 80%, 100% tariffs, it's still 10%. It's still 20% sometimes.
Whether you're sipping oolong tea from China or black tea from Sri Lanka, almost everything you see and smell is being tariffed at least 10%. Tariffs from the Trump administration have changed a lot over the last few weeks, and Alaska entrepreneurs say they're already hurting their small businesses. That was a common theme in a survey from the state's Small Business Development Center put out in April. The center's executive director, John Bittner, says the impacts on small businesses from tariffs will be far-reaching.
There's very, very few businesses out there that thrive in chaos. Small businesses and even larger businesses, they require some kind of stability to plan for the future. If you don't even know what your products or services are going to cost 3 or 6 months down the line, it's impossible to do advertising. It's impossible to find clients.
So far, about 100 businesses have responded to the survey. Bittner says over 70% of small businesses with suppliers said their costs of goods have increased as a result of tariffs. Even businesses that manufacture in Alaska aren't necessarily celebrating tariffs. Ermin Skate is the only Nordic skate on the market manufactured in the United States, says owner Paxson Wolber.
You'd think that we'd be the very kind of company that would be helped by having tariffs imported goods. And the reality is a lot more complicated.
Everything from the state's ceramic coating to sharpening is done with manufacturers in South Central. But like most skates, they're made with steel and aluminum, some of which the nation imports and are subject to a 25% tariff. Several companies have joined a movement to boycott American goods over Trump's tariff policy. And for businesses like Ermin that have a wide geographic customer base, that's bad news.
Pretty much immediately after the United States started threatening Canadian sovereignty, I got like one very terse email, just said, cancel everything, you know, don't talk to me again, basically. Totally respect it. I refunded the order. I don't think that's very productive for our for American businesses that are trying to manufacture and export to the rest of the world.
Revelate Designs, an Alaska-based bikepacking gear company, knows what it's like to do business overseas. About half their products are made in Seattle, the rest in Asia. Owner Eric Parsons says that manufacturing outside of the U.S. gives the company flexibility to adapt to the industry's changing demands and ramp up his manufacturing volume. Right now, Revelate has an order in China worth $50,000, and Parsons says it's subject to tariffs totaling around 200%. Parsons says not knowing what'll happen with tariffs makes it harder for his business to plan.
We're trying to still move forward on plans and products that we're bringing out and kind of crossing our fingers we can get stuff shipped before the 90 days is through. But after that, it's like impossible to know.
For now, business owners say they're taking tariffs day by day, and they hope Alaskans keep supporting locally. In Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
This is KTOO.